Hey, it's great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services. Appreciate all those who have led us in our services this morning. Jason, wonderful job picking out a song selection and leading us in our singing. Just a couple things before we get into some of our lesson today. First, we have a group of ladies from this church who've had to travel to Mississippi. And so we want to pray for their blessings. It's school, Mobile Christian School related through cheerleading. They had no control over it. But if you will, pray for Kristen, Ashley, Caroline, and Madeline. We'd appreciate that very much. And so add that to your prayer list. And also, I want to say to Vova, great job. He read a passage about tongues in a different tongue than he first learned. That was very impressive today, and I appreciate you, brother. I want to do something, and I hope you'll allow me to, because the greatest sermon that I could preach today is 4 years old. Cody, can you bring Carson up to us? Hey, what about my other buddies, will y'all come on up too? Noah, Riley. We'll leave Ava Grace. She's with Gigi. Figured you'd come better with Daddy and your brothers. Right? Come on, bud. Just a few more. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Right there. I don't know if the camera can get over here, but can y'all see Carson right here? Is that an answer to prayer or what? Come here, guys. We're going to do this right here, okay? Carson, can I say another prayer for you right now? He said no, but he really said yes, all right? He's a little nervous. Father, thank you so much for the many ways you bless us. Father, thank you for Cody seeing the importance of bringing his three boys and his baby girl to be able to worship today. Father, I know it's hard and I know it's challenging, but Father, I know that you're going to bless them in a special way. Father, we already see so many blessings in Carson being home from the hospital and being able to worship here today. Father, it took a lot of courage for him to come up to this stage, and I just pray that you will bless him and bless as he continues to grow. Thank you for his big brothers. Thank you for Noah. Thank you for Riley. Thank you for his baby sister, Ava Grace. I pray a special blessing on all this family. God, that you will just take care of every one of them and help these boys, this baby girl, and Cody to know that there's a village here that's ready to help raise and do whatever we can. Thank you again, Father, for hearing our prayers on Carson and on this beautiful family. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Love you guys. All right. Thank you, Carson. Thank you, Noah. Thank you, Riley. Thank you, Cody. Set me up, buddy. That's good stuff, folks. That's the power of prayer. Cody, I'm proud of you. Church, keep praying. You go ahead. Today we're going to talk about words. There's power in words. In Proverbs 18:21, you can change the slide. In Proverbs 18:21, we have this power that is read to us. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. I mentioned to you Wednesday night that we would start a lesson, we would have a lesson about words this morning. Words matter. They matter a lot. Words shape hearts. Words guide decisions. words heal wounds. Or unfortunately, words can deepen wounds. Guys, we live in a world that they don't care what they say. I went to public high school and private high school. Kids are still kids. But literally, I can remember people that did not, they used a lot of profanity, okay? My friends, acquaintances, when female were present, they should have controlled their mouth all the time, right? They still tried to control their mouth. Nowadays, the female talk just as bad as the men. I mean, it is unbelievable how careless, and that's just with profanity. That's not with, there's gossip, there's backbiting, there's stabbing in the back, there's tearing people down. We live in a world that's full of noise. We live in a world that's full of insults. A world that is full of criticism. And a world that's full of negativity. We as Christians are called to be different. We're called to act differently and we're called to speak differently. We're called to use words that build up and not tear down. That's biblical. That's Ephesians 4:29. So my question to us today is this, and I'm sure I know the answer, but have you ever considered the weight of your words? Words carry a lot of weight. Words are one of the most powerful gifts God has given us. But did you hear what was read from James earlier? Every creature on the earth can be tamed. I've seen killer whales tamed, which is amazing. People stick their heads in the mouths of killer whales. I've seen lions be tamed, tigers be tamed. But what did James remind us through the Holy Spirit? No man can tame the tongue. It's out of control. Therefore, it needs to be surrendered. It needs to be surrendered like our whole body, our whole self, when we surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. Today we're going to explore how powerful speech is. We're going to talk about how God expects us to use the power of words and the power of the tongue to bring life and encouragement to others. You already see point number one. First thing I want to talk about today is words can wound. Words can wound. Proverbs 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Do you hear that? Rash words are like sword thrusts. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Rash words. That's words that when we get all worked up, they just come out. That may be about somebody in public. That may be somebody at work. That may be somebody at school. Or it may be our spouse. There are words sometimes when we get worked up, when we've lost self-control, that we allow to be so careless that the proverb writer said it's like thrusting them with a sword. Rash words, harsh words, careless words, they all cut deeply. They leave huge scars. Words of criticism, words of anger, hateful words. They deeply wound. Here's again a reminder from what was read earlier, James 3:5-6. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. and the tongue is a fire. If the conditions were very dry, and you've seen these fires that happen in California and other places, what happens is it's so dry and there's so much stuff that can burn on the grounds that hasn't been cleared and such, somebody could just take a spark. Maybe somebody, for whatever reason, takes a cigarette and they throw it out, or they just take a match and they throw it down, or something sparks it, or it starts this little bitty fire that spreads so rapidly. That's what the tongue is. The tongue is a small member, something that's just carelessly done or carelessly said that can start a fire in churches, in homes, in communities. I know we could all say, we've all probably said something in frustration that we later regretted. I can't tell you the times. And I'm not talking about ugly words or things like that, but I can't tell you the times that I've said something in frustration, even to my own children, that I went back and I said, I wish I'd have handled that a little bit differently. Or maybe I've done it to a church member and said, I just wish I'd have done that a little bit different. I'm not the only one, I'm sure. I believe we all probably could relate to that. How many of us carry scars from wounds of words that still linger in us today? Listen, people can be forgiven, right? Maybe you were torn down as a child. Maybe you never could do anything right, and you were always criticized and always criticized and always criticized. You know what you're probably carrying today? Low self-esteem. If you're carrying that low self-esteem because of work, you might forgive your parents for that, but you're still dealing with the scars. You're still dealing with the wounds. And if we're not careful, that could be us stabbing somebody else for the rest of their lives. The Bible is very clear about the weight of our words. Listen again to the proverb writer, Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. I love that. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. The perverseness in it breaks the spirit. I've already referenced Ephesians 4:29. It won't be the last time I use it today. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Think about that. Let no corrupt communication come from your mouth. You might say, well, I don't use profanity, but do you gossip? We might think that this is always talking about using bad language. And listen, we understand. If the world calls it profane, we're to be different from the world. I've heard every argument. I taught school, remember? I taught teenagers at school. I didn't have this issue with teenagers in church when I was teaching them. But when I would teach Bible class and we would talk about language, they would all say, well, they're just words. Who called it a curse word? Who made it that? I don't know. Frankly, I don't. But here's what I do know. If it's considered profane by the world, we shouldn't say it. We are Christians. We're called out of the world. And we need to avoid profanity, the profaneness of it. And that's just a given. Do I think Ephesians 4:29 is talking about that? I do. But I think it's talking about so much more than that. Words that we wouldn't even consider as sinful words. Words like idiot or stupid or dumb or whatever. When we're constantly saying that to those that we love and care about, what are we doing to them? We're scarring them the rest of their lives. Gossip, slander, sarcasm, passive aggression, these are all ways that we can use words that harm. You know, you remember what Jesus said, right? In Matthew 12:36, that we will all give account for every careless word we speak. Now listen, that used to scare me to death. Because sometimes we don't even think about things that we said, right? They just come out and we just say something, and you might have said something when you were 18 years old and you think, I don't want that person to find out on the day of judgment, they're going to hear it all. Well, I think that's a little bit different. If we've been washed in the blood, it's gone. But the point is still there. We need to be mindful of those careless words. Someone once said, words are like nails. Once hammered in, even if removed, the hole remains. The damage may not always be visible. You know, I've talked a lot in counseling and other places about verbal abuse. You know what verbal abuse is? It's physical abuse without the physical scars. You see, verbal abuse, physical abuse, you sometimes see that, right? You can see it on a person. They might have, if someone has physically abused them, they might have the scars or the marks or what have you. And you know something's wrong. Can we see verbal abuse? Now, you might can see a person torn down and broken down and walking defeated, but it doesn't leave physical scars. How do we talk to our spouse? How do we talk to our children? How do we talk to the employees that we work with? How do we talk to our waitresses and those who are serving us and doing different things? Again, the damage may not always be visible, but it's going to linger. Words can wound. Have we underestimated how our words wound others? Again, especially in our homes and our church families. But number two, words can give worth. Words can give worth. Let's begin at the very beginning, Genesis 1. How did God create the world? We know, right? He spoke it into existence. In fact, in Genesis 1:3, we're reminded there by Moses, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You know, God has always existed, but everything exists because He spoke it into existence. What was there before God spoke things into existence? Nothing. Worthlessness. But what did God do? His words brought the universe into being. His words created life, order, beauty, and it did it out of chaos. His words brought worth. There was nothing, and then God spoke worth into existence. Something very valuable came out of nothing. A parent's words of affirmation can shape a child's confidence for life. I understand we live in a time where I believe the terminology would be helicopter parents, that the parents are always there hovering over the child and making sure, and so there's a lot of times that maybe we're building our children, not say us, but society's building their children up so much that they don't know how to fail. And I don't think that's healthy either. But I do think it's really healthy that we give verbal affirmation to our children. I mean, we do it to our dogs. Why would we not do it to our children? I mean, think of it. I know the biggest, toughest guy in here that's got a dog, you get on the floor and like, "Oh, I'm so proud of you. That's a good puppy. Give me kisses," and all that stuff. Are we doing it to our children? You see, our children need that. They need to hear that. They need to hear, "I'm proud of you." They need to hear, "You did a great job." They need to hear, "God made you truly special." A teacher's encouragement can inspire a student to chase their dreams. I told you this story before. Don't be this guy. I didn't get in trouble in school, even when I wasn't obedient to the gospel, because I had a daddy that took that very serious. Chances are, might have had a brother or so that did get in a little trouble, and I saw how that went. But somehow or another, I don't have time to tell you the story, I was wrapped up. Now, I'm a Christian. I'm about to leave to go to Mobile Christian because they had Bible class. I'm a junior in high school, and there was a cheating scandal on the final exam that I was guilty of not having to take the exam because I had a good enough grade, but holding the answers. Here's a thing for you, kids. Don't try to bail your friends out. Holding the answers, because back then we didn't have to wear uniforms, and a buddy of mine had basketball shorts on that didn't have any pockets. I held the answers for him. Well, I got in trouble for that because it looked like I was going to be cheating. It was a big deal to me. So I'm telling my teacher, you know me. I mean, I'm the assistant principal's here. I've had to call my mama. Couldn't tell her. Well, I didn't call my daddy. Call my mama. You got to come up here. I'm in danger of being suspended from school. Or expelled, I think. It was like 3 days left in the school year. But the point is, I'm sitting here talking to my teacher. You know me. You knew me. The assistant principal. You know what he said? I said, you know I want to be a preacher. You know I wouldn't do this. You know what the assistant principal said? Sure am glad my preacher's not a cheater. I mean, I am 16 years old. That could have shaped me the rest of my life. Despite that, I still stand before you and preach today. But the point of it is, think of what a teacher could do or an administrator. We have a lot of teachers here. We have a lot of administrators here. Do you realize we have principals of this congregation of schools right here in this area? What a blessing that is. We've got bus drivers here. We've got folks that are educating and shaping children's lives. Think of how important those words are. A friend's kind words can lift us out of despair. You know, in a situation of tragedy, sometimes you don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't have to say anything at all. Just be there. Show up. Cry with them. Love them. Let them know, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. You see, the loving, kind words of a Christian can lead other people to Jesus. Romans 10:14, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? God has always used words to reach hearts. He's always used words to create worth. From Moses to the prophets to the apostles to you and me, He wants us to use our words to let people know to Jesus, to God, they are worth something. Our words matter in sharing our faith, encouraging brothers and sisters, or teaching Christ's love. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. I like that. They need to be gracious and put a little bit of seasoning in there with it as well. Yes, we need to use our words to share the gospel. We need to speak kindness. We need to speak truth. We need to speak conviction. We need to stand up and speak for what's good and what's right. But we need to use our words to create and give worth. Thirdly this morning, words can warm. Words can warm. What do I mean by that? Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Encouragement in life as a Christian is not optional. It is a spiritual responsibility that we all have. Let me say that again. Encouragement, speaking words of encouragement, speaking words of warmth to others is not optional. We as Christians have that responsibility. One sincere word of encouragement can change someone's entire day. Chances are it could change their entire life. What about Barnabas in the Bible? He was the son of encouragement. I would want to be Barnabas because, I mean, we know Peter. Oh, he was the persecutor. Peter was the denier. Peter was this. Peter was that, you know. Saul was this. Saul was that. Barnabas, you know what he's known as? Son of encouragement. That's what his name meant. He was an encourager. And he used his words so effectively that God used him, get this, to bring Saul into the early church, Acts 9:27. That's right after Saul's baptized. Barnabas is the one who says, oh no, it'll be okay. You see, as Christians, we're called to be Barnabas. We're called to speak words that build up, not tear down. We've got, I've said this before in sermons that we've talked about edification and such. We've got people that do construction here and do a great job at it. I mean, you can see buildings built and you can see homes built. You can see all kinds of things built. And it takes some time to do that. You have to get permits. You have to get your crew. You have to get the materials. You have to make sure it doesn't rain. You know, all those things that go into getting a foundation, getting a slab, getting plumbing, all those things. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. You know how long it takes to tear it down? Not very much time. You can bring the right equipment in and have it all torn down in a day. It takes time to build relationships. It takes time to encourage, to build somebody up. But it just takes a few words to completely tear it down. Our words, as was said earlier in the scripture, should be a tree of life. That's what our words should be. We should use our words to extend life to others. It should bring hope. It should bring healing. It should bring only good things to those who hear them. So we need to ask ourselves, are our words creating life? Or are they creating chaos? Are they creating coldness? Or are they creating warmth? Are our words reflecting God's creative power? Or are they sowing destruction? We need to find somebody and seek them out and tell them, I'm thankful for you. Even if it's your children, your grandchildren, find a way to get on their level. Look them in the eyes and say something like, I sure am thankful God gave me you. Maybe husbands, we need to say that to our wives. Maybe wives, we need to say that to our husbands. Maybe church members, we need to go to somebody who's inspired us and look them in the eyes and say, I am so thankful God put you in my life. Do you know what that will do? That will send warmth and chills up somebody's spine. It will make them feel 10 feet tall, at least in that moment, because that's what edification does. I see Jesus in you. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. So if we want our words to bring warmth, we want our words to not bring coldness, then when we're sitting at the dinner table, let's speak words of warmth. When we're in the church foyer, in the fellowship hall, let's speak words of warmth. If we text somebody, let's bring those messages of warmth. We're going to get on social media. Let's use it as a positive way to bring words of warmth. Finally, this morning, our words should bring worship. Hebrews 13:15, through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. I'm going to read it one more time. Let it sit in. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his names. Our words are instruments of worship. I think our song leaders do a great job. And they're trying to educate us in so many other words of praise out there. But I can't imagine how discouraging it is to be up here doing your everything for God and we're sitting there like this. Why not sing? Why not? Why would we not sing? Oh, I don't know the words. I get it. But after one, listen, I don't know how to read music. Fortunately, I have some good singers around me where I sit. But after a time or two, I can pick up a little bit, right? I mean, you probably do that with the radio. You probably do that with your favorite song. Hey, it has a new song. I didn't know it. I remember when I would get a CD. Is that dating myself? I'd get a CD or whatever. It'd be one of my favorite artists or what have you. I'd listen to that thing. By the time two or three times around, I kind of knew the words. So let's don't use that as an excuse. Yes, I understand. I do get it. It takes a minute to learn songs. I get that. But I'm talking about Old Rugged Cross. I'm talking about I'll Fly Away. I'm talking about 728B. That's one for the old school guys. Okay? Why are we not singing? Do you know it's a command? Do you realize it is a command from God to sing? It's not about you and me. If that was the case, he would say, do not let Terry Cagle sing. It's not about you and me. It's about him. It is about him. Our words should bring worship, and we do that in song. Song leaders, you can buy me lunch later. But seriously, sing. Our words are instruments of worship and prayer. Man, we've got some folks that can pray around this place. And I'm so thankful. Keep praying for me. I need them. Words of praise glorify God and encourage others. Psalm 71:8, Colossians 3:15. When our lips speak life to God, they're also more likely to speak life to others. I could reverse that. When our words do not speak life to God, they're more likely to not speak life to others. Am I going to tell somebody about Jesus if I'm not praising God? Chances are I'm not. Am I going to tell somebody about Jesus if I love to praise God? Chances are I will. It's the way that works. So do not let praise be occasional. Let it be, as the scripture said, continual. Be someone whose words glorify God in both tone and in truth. In other words, we must use our words like Jesus. We could sum it up that way, right? If I speak like Jesus, I'm going to be okay. If we want to see words used perfectly, we look to Jesus, who is what? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the Word, and He was made flesh. His words were always purposeful, always powerful, and always life-giving. Just a few examples in the last couple moments of this lesson. What about His words to the woman caught in adultery, John 8, 1-11? When the Pharisees brought this woman caught in sin, the very act of adultery, before Jesus, they sought to condemn her and to stone her. but Jesus spoke grace. In John 8:11, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Now, his words didn't excuse her sin, but his words offered hope, warmth, and peace, and a new start in a time of war and conflict. What about the disciples in the storm, Mark 4:35 through 41? We talked a lot about this lately. The disciples were terrified in the storm. Yes, he's going to go on to rebuke them later, but right then he didn't get up and say, why'd you wake me up? I was in the middle of some good sleep. Why didn't you have any faith in me? That's not what he did. He got up, he woke up, and he said, peace, be still. Mark 4:39. At that moment, his words calmed the storm and brought peace to their hearts. What about to Lazarus? John 11:43. You think words changed his life? He was standing at the tomb, and he said, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus came back to life. His words literally brought life from death. Jesus spoke life. Jesus spoke hope. He spoke healing, and he spoke truth. So should we. So my final challenge to you today is this. Let's commit. Let's commit this week, starting today, to restrain from reckless words, to release words of worth, to radiate words of warmth, and to raise our voices in worship to God. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Church, if your words have wounded, or if you're longing to hear the words of life, you know what Jesus said? Come to me. Come to me. No matter what your life has been, no matter the words you have said, maybe there's some things that you need to make right with some other folks. But if right now you don't know Jesus Christ, just like he told Peter, get out of the boat and come to me. Today, you can come to Jesus. You can use your words to say, I believe He is the Son of God. And then you can be immersed in water for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. If today you've been wounded by words, you've been torn down and spit up, God, through Jesus Christ, is going to take those broken pieces and mend you back together. Today, if your words have not been what God needs them to be, if you need to confess Jesus with your words, or you need to ask prayer for the brokenness in your life, let's do it all right now together. We stand and sing.